Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, single, not stalled, pursuing sanctity in your singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, personal growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th. I thought it was funny. I don't know if people are going to be able to see us, but like I'm in this like red summer tank and Kate's in this like blue and white. So I'm like, oh, we did this so well. Look at
us. Yeah, we didn't even coordinate it, but we kind of did.
It's the fourth.
Yes, we're recording this on the 4th because this was the only free time we could find, but we're doing it in the morning before we go and have our celebrations and stuff like that. So that's good. I was also realizing, Monica, last week or last episode, we did not share any of our joys.
Lord have mercy.
I know.
Wow. Should we do two joys then?
Let's do two. I have two, so I'll do it.
Something from
last
week.
You can think about yours.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
joy from last week would have been, if we remembered to do it, this beautiful mass of enthronement we had in California for the statue of Mary, Mother of Fairest Love. Mm-hmm. I got to go out for it, and I've been working on this project. It feels like forever, but for over 4 years now.
Yeah.
And so to see the actual statue, to be there when Bishop Gomez, the Archbishop of LA, did the enthronement, and then to hear everybody in the congregation recite the consecration that I had written to her, it was a very powerful and moving thing. So it was definitely a big joy for me.
Then
I would say my second joy or my joy for this week was actually that I rediscovered protein coffee, like iced protein coffee, and I'm now obsessed.
Oh, wow.
Because it's just a great way to get a little extra protein into your day. And anyway, so that's
great.
I know.
So fun. Okay. Last week I would say I did a good job. I'm proud of myself. And they were these like high moments of reaching out to friends that I like live close to, that it's like I'm 10 or 15 minutes away from them. So why don't I see them? And I have kind of a lighter caseload in the summer. And so I just spontaneously texted two of them on different days in the middle of the afternoon when it's like, well, I'm done with my workday by 11. So, and I texted them and it was like, yes, like, please come over. Like, and so with one, I went for a walk and had a coffee, and the other one, like, I hung out with her and her babies. And like, it was just really a joy to be able to like kind of see them spontaneously, because sometimes mm-hmm. I think friendships have to be so structured, like, yeah, I'm free in 3 weeks for 1 hour on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? So that was definitely a joy last week. And then this week, I would say my joy is, okay, I'm really getting into golf. And I, like, had my first par the other day. Which,
oh, look at you.
For those who don't know, it means you had the exact number of strokes, like, estimated for that course or for that hole, right? So it's like if it's a par four, you're only supposed to hit that ball four times to get it in the hole. And I did. And it was actually kind of, it was, there were some beautiful shots. And I was like, wow, am I actually doing this?
Am I actually getting good at golf?
Yeah, am I actually doing this? So it was pretty exciting.
That's really funny. Yeah, we went golfing when I was home this last time, and it was very frustrating. I don't golf, like, at all. Monica golfs a lot more. I mean, I've literally golfed, like, four games in my whole life.
Yeah,
it's so frustrating.
It's frustrating. It's a frustrating sport, which is why I think I like it, because it takes a level of athleticism and concentration, and it's like, I am someone who, historically, in growing up, was good at any sport you put me in. I was, like, really athletic, and then this, I was like, why am I bad? Wait, and it's like such a fun challenge to be like,
I
have to think differently about this. Like, you don't swing the same way you would in baseball, or you don't, you know. Anyways.
It is actually really funny. I actually, of all the Hinderer children, I'm the only one who took golf lessons. Dad had me take golf lessons when I was little.
Really?
A lot of good that did me.
Well, it's just been a few years. I'm sure.
Just a couple. I don't even remember. I was probably like 10 when I took them. He probably was trying to make me be less socially awkward. He probably probably didn't even care about golf. He was just like, put this girl into some sport so she has to talk to people. Who knows?
There you go. Anyway. Our homework last week was
our homework
expectations
last week.
That we're letting go of.
Yes, expectations we're letting go of. It's funny, I feel like I had a lot that came up as I was thinking about this.
We
were talking about it, and then afterwards that I was like, oh, like I have this or I have that or whatever. And I think one of the ones that I've actually been working at kind of letting go of, but I think I need to do a more clear job of doing, is the kind of the comparison game of myself to other people who kind of have the profession that I have. So there's just a couple of, and like most of the time I don't compare myself that often because like I'm pretty proud of where Rosebud Social is and that kind of a thing. But there's this the one woman who I just think she's amazing. Like I would absolutely want to be her, but you know, in my own personal style or whatever. And but she runs a 7-figure business, and she talks about that not in a bragging way, but just every now and then she'll bring it up because like she just built her family a beach house. Not that I want to build my family a beach house, but then I often feel like I'll see her stuff and then I'll often feel like, oh, I need to be further along, or I need to be making more money, or I need to be doing more things and that kind of thing. And then like, it's kind of dumb because I am max capacitated already. So I don't know how I can be doing that anymore. Anyway, so that was one that like really came up for me as I was kind of thinking about it.
Okay. I was trying to think about, I think my personality type, like I generally just kind of smash expectations where I'm like, whatever. It's not always, you know, but, but kind of thinking about like, what are the things that like, ooh, make me like cringe in these kind of, and I think that in some ways kind of letting go of this, like, what will others think like about me? And I feel this way sometimes. Yeah. There's a little bit of like self-consciousness, even though you're like, there's nothing wrong. Like even thinking about, like, I was at a pool the other day, we were laughing about or commenting about how there's like all these like middle-aged men just walk around in their swimsuits and their bare bellies. They don't care. There's not a care in the world for that man.
Yeah,
and all of these women are in like one pieces or hats or cover-ups, and they're sitting in particular, like they're all trying, and just the disparity here of like,
yeah,
women are so self-conscious and men are just like, this is my belly, like they don't care.
And kind I've of earned this with all the beer.
Yeah, I just wanted to, right, exactly. They're like, what do I care? I'm thinking about like, yeah, why do I care so much about like what other people think? And if I'm happy with me, if I can look in the mirror and be like, I like me and I'm okay with me, then kind of letting go of the expectations that like other people have or that society has. And that's definitely like a mental process, right? That I've got to like get through. But I don't know. That's kind of where my mind went.
I like it. I'm curious what our listeners came up with. So if you have things, drop something on social, we'd love to hear more from you about your expectations and things like that, etc. So today we thought we'd talk about what we jokingly said we were going to talk about last week, which is leisure. Seems appropriate. Midsummer.
It's the 4th of July. Kitty, I'm curious about what you thought leisure was like, what, when off the top of your head, when you're like, when you think leisure, you think,
oh, so okay, when I think leisure, I actually think of activities, might be the wrong word, but things that force a slowdown and like a reconnecting with self, true purpose, etc. Like things that allow you to actually like revive, refresh, be renewed, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, because I think when I think leisure, I think rest. Mm-hmm. But in a, the image that comes to mind is like laying on a beach, like kind of like that very rested state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes, it absolutely can be, but I think it's not It's not a state of doing nothing for nothing's sake.
Well, so, right, this sense. Is why, yeah, because I actually think the true definition, I actually went to a dinner on leisure, and there was a professor speaking, and I was like, oh, this is not what I thought it was, which is why I was like, what comes to mind? Because I think our mm-hmm. listeners are going to be like, well, I have this idea of it, but if we actually get to the root of what it is, it might actually surprise a lot of us, right? So, like, yeah. in psychology and in these... And in philosophy, what people are going to say is that leisure is kind of this, the time spent in activities freely chosen for intrinsic enjoyment, rest, or personal development.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like when I, that's why when I say activities, I mean it like for instance, when I watercolor, like that's leisure for me.
Interesting.
Because I am switching my mindset. I'm switching all of my things. I'm going into a restful activity, but without like an expectation. And I only say that if I'm doing, like, if I'm watercoloring just for watercoloring's sake, but if it's like someone's like, please make a birthday card, to me that's not leisure.
Yeah, so because leisure is not productivity,
right?
So this is the thing, like, it's not work and it's not productivity. It's pretty much a state of restedness in our soul. So at its core, it's deep meditative prayer. Like, it kind of pulls us into that space of, like, your soul is at rest.
Mm-hmm. I consider, like, hiking.
Sure.
But, like, chill hiking to be leisure. Mm-hmm. Because, again, especially if I do it, like, solo, right? Like, for me, that's a very prayerful time. That's a very, you know, like, in touch with God and nature moment. And so, for me, like, hiking is often leisure. Mm-hmm. But if it's, like, a whole big – like, for instance, when we did the Camino, I would not consider those 10 days leisure.
No.
Because we were, like, hustling. We had to hit 20 miles a day. We were, like, going, going, going. There was no, like – I think I'll stop now.
Yeah.
Besides, like, I'll stop now for my first cappuccino.
Well, yeah, so it kind of comes down to intention. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is there's this definitely an American mindset of we have to optimize everything. Mm-hmm. And we've taken leisure to a place, and we've taken rest to a place of it has to be productive. Like, you have to almost gamify it, where it's like, what are you doing and how well are you doing it? And I think that while sometimes those are important questions to ask and measures to take, it can easily change mm-hmm. leisure into productivity and a non-restful state. And
I think we have, it's almost like we have a two different worlds of the way people see leisure. It's either we're like gamifying it and it's like, it's got to be this thing where, like, whatever, like our Camino experience, right? Like that kind of thing, which we did not set out to do leisurely.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think the other thing that we see often is the exact opposite, where leisure is like vegetative states of mind numbing consumption.
Vegetative states of mind-numbing consumption. Well, yeah, because that's not actually, like, your body, mind, and soul aren't actually resting when you're, right. like, laying on the couch doom-scrolling.
Yeah, or binging, you know, the latest thing on Netflix. Like, that, and I think we often are like, well, that's leisure, right? And so many people, like, get home from work, are exhausted, and then just spend hours on TV, right? Or TV, we don't even do that. Hours streaming, right? Some service that you have, and thinking like, that's helping me rest. And then they don't understand why they're so exhausted. Well, no. You're so exhausted because you're not actually living any, including any leisure in your life.
Yeah. Leisure is not the absence of productivity. It's just what I think, well, like, I'm not being productive. I'm not doing anything. And it's like, well, but no. You know, I think that people, it's difficult for people to slow down and to do nothing. Like, when was mm-hmm. the last time you just sat on a park bench and did not pull your phone out? Just be yeah. there in a rested state. Or when was the last time that you read poetry?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or actually just sat and read a physical book. but like just that's all you're doing is like reading a book. You're not also like half on your phone, half reading a book, half doing this other thing. You're just like sitting and reading. It's funny. This is making me think actually yesterday I haven't been home in like a long time. So my lawn has not been mowed in a very long time, like probably 6 weeks. And although one of my neighbors, this is just the sweetest thing. One of my neighbors has like taken care of my front yard. I have a very small front yard. And like, it's perfect. And in fact, did it again yesterday while I was out running errands. Like, I know. And I felt bad because I don't know who it is. I have a guess who I think it is, but I don't know, because then he was mowing his lawn a different day. So clearly he wasn't mowing my lawn. I was like so confused. Anyway, point is I had to mow my backyard, which had not been mowed in 6 weeks. And so I had to mow it twice, once on like the highest, you know, like clearance setting, and then once on the normal setting, etc. I finished that and I was like, okay, I'm going to go like for a ruck now, because I was already hot and sweaty. And I was like, whatever, I'm going to do that. So went for a ruck, came home, and the power was out yesterday. So St. Louis, it was, I think yesterday's high was 95 with a real feel of 100 something. And I came in the house and was like, uh-oh, no power. So like couldn't get pull ice to put in my water. Like couldn't turn the TV on. Didn't have internet. Like I could stream from my phone, I guess. Anyway, and I was like, I was super sweaty. And so I like sat down on the floor in my living room and was like, all right, what do I do now? And I was like, I could go to the gym, I guess. And then I was like, no, I could just sit here. I could just sit here for a little bit and I could then read. And that's what I did. And it was, but it was very odd. Mm-hmm. And it was making me think of when we were little kids, which I wonder if little kids say this anymore. But when we were little kids and we would be like, Mom, I'm bored.
Oh, I'm so glad you said this.
And she would say something like, go play with your siblings or go outside. And you'd be like, but I'm bored.
Yeah.
And it was the first time, this is really funny, this is the first time in a really long time I could say,
I'm bored.
I was bored. And good. I mean, I have a billion things I could do, right?
No.
But I was like, I'm bored. I'm sitting here bored. And I think that's okay.
Okay, so I'm so glad you said that, because boredom is actually so important for us. Mm-hmm. It's the catalyst for creativity. I mean, this is like, and I think kids nowadays, and we can, whatever, this, it's not the point of the podcast, but I think kids nowadays, because they lack boredom, there's a lot of other issues that come with that. Along with boredom and this state of kind of being, but not rushing, but helps regulate our nervous system. So I'm not surprised that as you're like in this journey of re-regulating your nervous system and navigating that, that this is the first time in years that you've been like, whoa, I'm bored. Like, I think that's such a good sign. Like, that's a sign of progress. And yeah. I think that we almost need to kind of challenge, it's kind of piggybacking off of our conversation on expectations. Where is the expectation coming from that I always have to be doing something, or I always have to be productive, or boredom is bad? I want to kind of challenge people when they start to use like moral language on things that are pre-moral, that don't hold morality at their core, like boredom, right? Where is this? When I start to use moral language, like boredom's bad, challenge that, pause and be like, wait a minute, where's that coming from? Why do I have that belief? Mm-hmm. And is that true? And so, because I think that the more we're willing to like slow down, it actually helps quiet our mind, which is why a lot of people are going to say, and one of the kind of prevailing theories is that true leisure is actually like true and authentic prayer. And that monks who spend their entire day in rest and prayer with the Lord, they spend their day in leisure, in just being and existing. And yeah, they have work. They've got certain things that they're going to do. But most of us, their day is more leisure and with God. And it's so the reverse for us that we are uncomfortable with literally doing nothing and being and existing.
It's true. It's funny. When I was out in LA, I had like 3 hours to kill from dropping off my employee at the airport to when I had to be at the airport. So I was like, I'm going to go sit at the beach. It was so like, I need to do something. Like, I was like laying there for a little bit and then I was like, I need to do something. And I was like, maybe I should go for a walk. Maybe like all of these things as opposed to like just being there, like just chilling. So I think it definitely is, it's definitely very hard. But this is also making me think of, you know, why people get their best ideas like in the shower,
mm-hmm.
for instance, right? Like people say that all the time. I had this idea in the shower this morning, right? Or this thing came to me in the shower. Why is that? Because in the shower, we're doing this kind of monotonous task that's kind of boring, right? And we can't be on our phone. We can't, you know, and like most people aren't always listening to music, although now people have like waterproof speakers in their because they can't handle being with just their thoughts. But I think that's part of it, right? That's like that idea of leisure gives us that opportunity for ideas to come, for our minds to percolate things that maybe we're not even actively thinking about, but suddenly comes. I always tell people, so Fridays usually are my computer-free day or like my desk-free day in my business. And I often will go for a long hike like in the middle of the day. And I always tell people that like that's the case. I don't take meetings on Fridays. I'm usually not on my computer on Fridays. But I tell people I think it's my most effective business day. I get the most done mentally on Fridays because I go for like a long hike and I'm not even thinking about our clients. Or I'm not even thinking about the business. And then suddenly I'm like, you know what we should do? And then I have all these ideas and I like send it off to the team and I, you know, make adjustments and things like that because I've like given myself that space for leisure.
Yeah. On my rest or like on my busy days when I have a lot of clients and I'm working, I'm like putting in like a 12-hour day essentially and seeing like 9 people or more. Those days are just like very difficult. And what I have found is I, you know, in the past 2 years and working with my own therapist and working through different things, like have really learned to like tune in to like, well, what do you need in these moments? Like really, like what is your body telling you it needs? And it's funny because without even, I think, like naming it or making it a big deal, it was like the evenings turned into leisure for me. And this pattern emerged where I would make some hookah, which is just flavored tobacco, everybody. It's just flavored tobacco. I'd make some hookah and I'd put on soft jazz and I'd light a candle and I would just literally lay on my couch and just be.
Yeah.
And it was like this very like rested, like the TV wasn't on. The music, yes, but it was like there is certain music that's gonna like pull you into a more like beautiful state. Like there are no words, there's no like it's more like symphony, right, or jazz or blues, whatever. And to just sort of be, and I will say that I felt more rested going to bed and my mind felt less cluttered than if I had even gone and worked out or put just a show on to try to like not think about the day or the people or like how heavy the day was. And that the next day doesn't feel as hard when it's like you're actually letting your mind, like body, mind, and soul just like rest and like reset.
Yeah, like decompress. And I think it's interesting because for you, you need stillness in your life. This is something we were talking about, right? And so, like, it makes sense that, like, that for you is, like, really important and really good, right? And I think, like, each person kind of has to find their own things of leisure that help them, like, recenter, refocus, revive, right? So for me, that's often watercoloring, that's hiking, that's – even actually the other day I was meal prepping, which I don't normally do, but I've started trying to do, and I was, like, actually, this is kind of like restful and fun. Like I just was like chopping up the vegetables and like I didn't really have anything and I wasn't trying to like multitask it. I wasn't also like
podcasting
to a podcast or like trying to. Yeah. Or even I will say, so one of the things that this year I started doing differently than last year with this whole trying to reset my nervous system and all of that is last year I was like, I got to read a lot of books. Like I want to be a person who reads. I want to read a lot of books. And so, you know, I would listen to audiobooks on double time and I would read physical books or like books on Kindle and all this kind of stuff. And I was keeping track of the number of books I read and like gamifying it again. And this year I decided that I wasn't going to listen to really any audiobooks I have a couple. So like if I'm in the car, maybe I will. But it's like I got to read a physical book or read on the Kindle instead, because when you do an audiobook, you can be doing that and a million other things. But if I'm reading a physical book, the only other thing I could really be doing is maybe like on a stationary bike pedaling away. Yeah. Like there's nothing else I can do. Like you can't do anything else if you're like flipping pages and all that kind of stuff. And I have found that I enjoy reading so much more. Like I like reading in general, obviously. But I enjoy reading so much more, and I find it so much more relaxing now that I'm like, I'm just gonna read. And so, you know, when I flew out to LA and back, I usually like listen to a bunch of podcasts or listen to an audiobook in the plane and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm just gonna read a book. And it was great. And I like read for a little bit, and then I was like, I think I'm tired. And I like, took a nap, and then I like read a little bit more. And it was really good in that sense.
So I'm curious, because like as you're talking, I'm thinking back to, you know, sometimes I think as adults, we overcomplicate things. And so sometimes to kind of like know maybe what we need, it's like interesting to kind of do some like inner child work and like go back to your childhood. Yeah. And be like, what did I do when I could just be? And there weren't expectations of like productivity in my adulthood and like these things. So I'm curious if like as a kid, did you often like in your boredom or in your just like, I don't have anything to do today, like it's summer vacation or whatever, like, did you pick up books and read? Was that like,
yeah, I read a lot as a kid.
Cause it's like, as you were talking, I was thinking like, I used to put music on in the background, but like some of like mom's older music, like I'd put on like Fleetwood Mac or yeah, like yeah. that. And I'd have the fan on in my room, and I'd lay upside down in my bed and lay there and watch the fan spin as I was listening to music.
That's funny.
And like, I just would like,
zen out.
Like lay there, some mellow vibes in the background. And like literally the boys would walk past and they'd like stop, poke their head, and they're like, you okay? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah. I feel so good right now. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I read a lot. Not as much as our second sister. She read a ton, but I did read a lot. It's funny, I even as a kid was a pretty productive leisure person.
Interesting.
So I really enjoyed reading, and I really enjoyed writing as leisure. And I wrote a lot, a lot, a lot. Actually, it's funny. I was just thinking this recently. I was like, maybe I should get back into writing like for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to write like all these like little short stories and things like that. And and I haven't done anything like that. But I think it became like a more of a chore. And so then I stopped doing it.
Oh,
so
interesting.
How to not make it a chore. How to not make it something else that like adds stress.
Well, and that's kind of the forever challenge. Like there's always going to be, for many people, this pull to make their leisure productive. And it's not, it's just, I think it's just conditioning. And that we're kind of conditioned to be really like productive. I was laughing because the other day this like commercial came on for like the new Apple Watch or whatever. And it was like literally gamifying your sleep. How productive is your sleep? Like, and it's throwing all these statistics and you're watching people like try to like get ready for bed as if like getting ready for bed is the same like ritual that you're going to perform before like an athletic event. Like I have my routine, and I just was like, wow, like just go to bed, like just yeah, just like sleep, like, you know. And that we've put a lot of pressure now on these activities that are really good for us, obviously sleep, and you do want to have the best sleep, but you know, we can't optimize everything. Like, yikes. I mean, it's just exhausting. And so there's a temptation to optimize our leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, actually, this is funny. So one of the things from the Camino that we were talking about that I'm working on is like kind of like letting go of things, right? A little bit more. And so yesterday when I was out rucking, I rucked like my normal path or whatever. And for some reason, I thought it was an exact 3 miles. And I got home and it was 2.93 miles.
Bro.
And I almost,
I know what walked, you did.
I almost walked back out my door and walked to the end of the block and back.
I'm so proud of you.
And then I thought, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter. Like, why does an extra 0.07 miles matter? It doesn't. And so I like turned it off and like went in the house and then found out I had no AC. But, you know, like, anyway, so it's little things like that, that I also was like, okay, that, because the walk was like leisurely for me. I was taking it at a slow pace. I was enjoying the intense heat, et cetera. And I think if I would have gone back out and been like, I have to hit 3 miles, it would have not been the same amount of kind of restfulness, I think, mm-hmm. because it would have become like this task as opposed to like a task of 3 miles.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I feel like everyone probably can think of little examples in their life where there are simple tasks that they're trying to optimize, right? Sure. Or even kind of thinking about, you know, sometimes we're like, well, what is the healthiest or most productive rest, right? Like people ask me that a lot. Like, you know, when I like recommend certain things, like, well, what's the best technique? And I'm like, the best technique is what feels best for you. And I can't give you one breathing exercise or another because everybody's a little different. And I like, and we have to be okay with a little bit of trial and error and time and patience to find what type of rest suits us best. And, you know, what are the areas in my life that I'm trying to avoid or trying to optimize? And so really at the end of the day, it's about this kind of awareness. And we struggle with awareness and with this openness when we lack silence and boredom, because our mind is just way too cluttered. And we need, like, we need that mind to rest, both physiologically, like it's so important for us in our body, but it's also really important for our soul. And I God speaks to us in whispers and through peace. And when we're moving in chaos and we're moving quickly and there's a lot of noise, you're not going to hear him.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, to your point of everyone needs to find what helps them rest. You know, I was thinking, like, we have a sister who really, really loves baths. I hate baths. I hate them. I hate them. And I've tried because she's like, it's so restful. It's so, and I've tried and I'm like, this is so not restful. I do not enjoy this. I do not enjoy this. This does not help me rest. Or massages. I think that's another one, right?
For some people,
they really help revive them. They really do, right? Or they're really needed because they carry a lot of tension in their body and that kind of thing. I carry a lot of tension in my body. I hate massages. I hate them. I really do not enjoy them. But there are other things that I do enjoy, right? That maybe other people don't. And so I think it is a little bit of, like you were saying, that trial and error of saying, like, okay, here are some, like, kind of, I don't know, standard leisure activities. Which ones appeal to me, right? Which ones am I like, this is what I'd like to do versus like, oh, well, this is what Susie down the block does. And so therefore, or like, this is what my bestie does. So therefore I should do that because she says it's really restful. Like, no.
Yeah.
And then, because you really got to find what helps you, like, replenish your resources.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a good place to start is thinking which of the categories, silence, stillness, or solitude, is most appealing to you. Because it's funny, as you were going through those things, I was like, oh, I love baths. Oh, I love massages. And then I realized, like, oh, all of those are literally still, which is what I need. What I've always needed, and like what I find most restful and most leisurely for me is like to just be still. It's also the hardest for me,
right?
But the most rewarding. And so, you know, if you're listening to this, I would kind of consider like, well, what is best for me? Silence, stillness, or solitude? And then kind of look into what activities, like, you know, do a deep dive of like what activities meet those kind of categories and then go and try them out.
It's interesting. It's making me think when we were growing up, our mom would sometimes go for like a long weekend or a couple days during the week, and she would go quilt up at the like summer cottage she grew up in. And like her mom lived in a house nearby, but not in that house. And so she would go by herself and go up and like sew for several days. And she would come back so revived. And she's like, oh, it was like the best thing in the world for her. And I was like, yeah, because she just needed that, like, I think probably silence and solitude raising her kids. You know, but like that was her way of getting it. And she needed to do it in like bulk moments because of, you know, her life or whatever. But yeah, like there are different ways that we can do this and really think it through. So I think, you know, the challenge for our listeners this week, or for ourselves too, is to think like, okay, what are some ways you can bring leisure into your life, that you can welcome it in, and maybe get rid of these kind of like false leisures of the doom scrolling, of the binging, of the, even I think sometimes out with friends where we're drinking to excess, we think it's like leisure, it's fun, it's whatever, but it's not. It's not reviving us. We're not waking up the next morning being like, I am so ready to conquer the day, right? So kind of thinking through maybe the ways that we have been trying to leisure, and then what are ways that are really going to allow us to revive and restore.
Yeah, and this is not us advocating for extremes. I think go out with your friends, have the drinks, like watch Netflix. I just started a series yesterday that I was like, I'm gonna binge this. It's wild. Like, you know, there's a time and a place, but I think this is the key. There's a time and a place. So just be honest with yourself about what you're doing, and let's not try to conflate things into something that they're not. So it's go ahead with your bad self and like go out and have the drinks or watch the Netflix or do this or do that. And make sure you're still prioritizing time for leisure and that, you know, balance, you know, everyone wants to talk about like, oh, a balanced life. I really hate that. Because I think it's misleading people, because balance sounds like an equal distribution and weight. Right. That this, that it's the same, and it's, you know, and that's not true in life. And so we need, what we need is a flexible and agile life. Like that's the goal here, that I can pivot and adjust to what needs my attention and what is the priority in that moment. And sometimes it's going to be, you know, your work is going to take more hours in your week, Monday through Friday. But that doesn't mean that rest wasn't also a priority. It just means it got less time, but it did get the time it deserved.
Right. Yep. Agreed. 110%. That's it this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.